claims or damages received from any firm that is advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I believe we're all aware of the massive trucker convoy descending upon Ottawa in one of the most astonishing displays of peaceful resistance to governmental tyranny the world has ever known. It's setting an inspiring example for the United States. Meanwhile, it appears that's going to happen right here, convoy to D.C., U.S. truckers announced plans for American convoy to Washington, D.C., expected to break Canadian world record. You may have heard about the truckers' convoy of 50,000 trucks in Canada. The truckers drove across the country to head to the Capitol to protest draconian COVID mandates. The protests were so huge, Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, had to flee the city. Well, U.S. truckers have just announced their own plans for an American convoy to Washington, D.C. This movement is just starting and is organically being planned on Facebook. Based on online chatter, it's expected the U.S. trucker convoy could break the world record just set by the Canadians. More details to come. There are lots on Twitter. Happened today in Buffalo, New York. Plans for truckers to go to D.C. are in the works. Another on Twitter. Government overreach is coming to an end. Massive truck convoy heading to Washington after Ottawa. It will start in California and it will end in D.C. and we're going to stay there just like Canada is doing. Another. Please spread the word far and wide. We have to get to the Canadian-American border and then get our trucks and citizens to D.C. We must stand in solidarity with our Canadian brothers and sisters. Hashtag Canada Trucker. Hashtag Truckers for Freedom. Hashtag No Mandates. Check it out. Meanwhile, Trump held another rally in Conroe, Texas on Saturday night, where an estimated 50,000 turned out to see him in Texas. He praised the Canadian truckers, calls on Congress to rehire every soldier or Marine fired by Joe Biden over the vaccine mandate. All extremely positive. Trump has an amazing political antenna, generally, and this is wonderful. At a rally on Saturday, former U.S. President Donald Trump gave a shout-out to the truckers' convoy in Ottawa protesting COVID-19 health measures. He praised the convoy participants for doing more to defend American freedom than our own leaders by far. We want those great Canadian truckers to know that we are with them all the way, he told a crowd of supporters in Conroe, Texas. Trump also slammed U.S. President Joe Biden for his administration vaccine mandates affecting federal contractors, large businesses, health workers, and the military. Thousands of truckers and supporters rolled into Ottawa on Saturday for a rally on Parliament Hill. The movement initially began in response to cross-border vaccine mandates affecting truck drivers, but has since grown into a wider protest against COVID-19 public health measures in general. This is completely sensational. So, of course, Morning Joe would attack Canadian trucker protests, calling it a cult, calling it a cult. I think that Morning Joe needs to get more familiar with the data. Take, for example, my latest blog just up minutes before coming on the show today. Daniel Horowitz, whistleblower, shared Department of Defense medical data that blows the vaccine safety debate wide open. Data, transparency, and surveillance. That's what's been missing from the greatest experiment on humans of all time throughout this pandemic. Now, military medical whistleblowers have come forward with what they claim is perhaps the most accurate and revealing data set on vaccine safety one could possibly find. The pro-farmer politicians and media claim the CDC's pharma surveillance tool, AVERS, is not good enough to trigger investigations into the shots because anyone can supposedly submit an adverse event entry. Thus, all the concerning safety signals from AVERS are being ignored, even though that system was put in place as a consideration to the public for absolving medical manufacturers of liability. Well, now some military whistleblowers are coming forward to present data that, if verified, would signal extremely disturbing safety concerns about the vaccine to make the AVERS data look like child's play. On Monday, during Senator Ron Johnson's five-hour hearing on COVID-19 second opinion, Ohio Attorney Thomas Rentz, who's been representing clients suing the vaccine mandates, presented DOD medical billing data from the Defense Medical Epidemiological Database, DMED, that paints our shockingly disturbing picture of the health of our service members in 2002. According to the military, DMED is the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Branch web-based tool to remotely query de-identified active component personnel and medical event data concerned within the Defense Medical Surveillance System. In other words, it contains every ICD billing code for any medical diagnosis in the military submitted for medical insurance billing during any given period of time. Three military doctors have presented queried data to Rentz that show a shocking and sudden spike in nearly every ICD code for common vaccine injuries in 2021. In a declaration under penalty of perjury that Rentz plans to use in federal court, Drs. Samuel Sigalaw, Peter Chambers, and Theresa Long, three military doctors, reveal there has been a 300% increase in DMED codes registered for miscarriages in the military in 2021 over the five-year average. The five-year average was 1,499 codes for miscarriage per year. During the first 10 months of 2021, however, it was 4,182. As Rentz explained to me in an interview with Ablaze, these doctors queried the numbers for hundreds of codes from 2016 to 2020 to establish a baseline five-year average. These codes were generally for ailments and injuries that medical literature has established as being potential adverse effects of the vaccines. Rentz told me the numbers tended to be remarkably similar in all those preceding years, including in 2020, the first year of the pandemic, before the vaccines were distributed. But then in 2021, the numbers skyrocket, and the 2021 data doesn't even include the months of November and December. For example, some public health officials speculate COVID itself places women at higher risk for miscarriages, but the number of miscarriages recorded for 2020 was actually slightly below the five-year average, 1,477. However, they were not drastically below on any one category in a way that would suggest it reflected a lockdown-related decrease in doctor visits, which somehow led to an increase in 2021 diagnoses. The database has all the ICD codes for both military hospital visits and ambulatory visits. The data presented by Rent so far is all from the query of ambulatory diagnosis data. Aside from the spike in miscarriage diagnoses, which is code 003003 for spontaneous abortions, there was an almost 300% increase in cancer diagnoses from a five-year average of 38,700 per year to 114,645 in the first 11 months of 2021. There was also a 1,000% increase in diagnosis codes for neurological issues, which increased from a baseline average of 82,000 to 863,000. Some other numbers he did not mention at the hearing, but gave to me in the interview are the following. Myocardial infarction, 269% increase. Bell's palsy, 291% increase. Congenital malformation for children of military personnel, 156% increase. Female infertility, 471% increase. Pulmonary embolisms, 467% increase. All these numbers are among the ambulatory visits because those are where the vast number of diagnoses in the military occur. However, Brent said the increases were indicated in the hospitalized patients as well. I have seen one of the sworn declarations from one of the military doctors, which states as follows, quote, "It is my professional opinion that the major increases in incidences of the above discussed miscarriages, cancers, and disease were due to COVID-19 vaccinations," a word in quotation mark. According to Renz, it was the actual clinical experience of the three named doctors and several unnamed that led them to investigate DMED, and their discoveries reflected their experience treating patients with ailments extremely unusual to healthy young soldiers since the rollout of the vaccines. I have spoken to one of the whistleblowers who attests to being gravely concerned with seeing young soldiers with sudden metastatic cancers, autoimmune diseases, and heart and circulatory disorders that have caused many to drop out of various training programs. These doctors were motivated to explore DMED data due to the number of case increases they were seeing empirically, said the whistleblower who served in the military for many years. Some physicians throughout the force, all branches, have been intimidated by commands not to perform the full spectrum of testing and adhere to the regulations, which implicitly direct full workups for EUA, emergency use authorization, vaccination adverse reactions. It will require other military physicians to step forward and share experiences to fuller ascertain the enormity of these allegations and engender an investigation to the fullest extent. Renz claims he has a video with two witnesses showing the entire process of downloading this data from a database and is prepared to present it in court. He also told me this is just the tip of the iceberg, as the codes have increased exponentially in numerous other category diagnoses. He said his spreadsheet, which includes over 100 medical diagnostic categories, was shared with Senator Ron Johnson and his staff before the Monday that would have been of last week hearing. It's important to note that these numbers do not represent the number of individual people diagnosed with various ailments, but the number of diagnosed codes used in totality at a given time. For example, someone who has a stroke is obviously going to rack up numerous ICD codes over the course of a year with multiple ambulatory and hospital visits. However, the apples-to-apples comparison from the previous 5 years clearly shows an unmistakable spike in ailments. If these numbers are verified in the upcoming court cases, then absent some massive military insurance fraud or bizarre glitch in the system, it potentially paints a shocking picture of vaccine safety concerns that would indicate not only were the adverse safety signals something that should immediately have been followed up upon, but they are plagued by woeful underreporting. The military is a defined, finite, and closely controlled and monitored population. They're also overwhelmingly young and healthy. If allegations of neurological, cardio, and cancer concerns surrounding the vaccines are indeed true, the military would be the most revealing place to discover it, and their data the most reliable and undisputable. DMED is quite literally an epidemiological surveillance program designed for the express purpose of detecting surges in illness and injury to make sure the military is combat ready. It's about national security even more than public health. Why would the military not have blown the whistle and warned the CDC right away about the data? On the Military Health System website, the Armed Forces Health Surveillance Division is described as the central epidemiological resource for the U.S. Armed Forces, conducting medical surveillance to protect those who serve our nation in uniform and allies who are critical to our national security interests. How could the blaring and glaring surveillance signals of a lifetime be ignored by the Defense Health Agency? And how is this not conveyed to the general public? The question is why the military health analysts have not been communicating with military doctors about the shocking spikes in diagnoses this year, and why they have not put out any analysis explaining it. For his part, Senator Ron Johnson said that he put DOD on notice that it better not delete any of the data. The Department of Defense of Biden administration is on notice they must preserve these records, and this must be investigated. Ritz testified at the hearing that some of the myocarditis data was slid backward since the doctors originally downloaded it last year. Even if somehow these earth-shattering increases have nothing to do with the vaccines, isn't it important that our government investigate what appears to be a catastrophic decline in the health of our active duty fighting force? After all, the DMED data was designed for this very purpose. A person can do a research paper just on this data alone, said one of the whistleblowers. It was designed for this very purpose. The amount of data points you could query is nearly unlimited. The bottom line, according to Ritz, is that the onus of proof is on the government, not the military personnel and citizens being forced to take the shots. If manufacturers are exempt from liability for government coercion to use their product, and the only pharmaceutical safety data we have is completely ignored, then where is the recourse of the people to redress safety concerns? In the opinion of the Ohio attorney, Rance, if the shots are safe and effective, then the Pentagon should have no problem explaining the source of these gargantuan increases in instances of numerous illnesses. Transparency is the most potent cure of a pandemic of secrecy. Now, that's an extremely important article. As I mentioned, you can find it on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. And it makes Joe Scarborough look like a moron, a complete moron, attacking the truckers who are protesting these vaccine mandates as a cult means he's massively ignorant or deliberately deceiving the public. Either way, Joe Scarborough is disqualified as a commentator on these issues, other than having his own purely personal subjective opinion. Clearly, in light of the objective data, it carries no weight whatsoever. Meanwhile, and this may be the single best assessment I've seen yet of what's going on in the state of the nation politically, boogeycrats are headed for a fall of communism-style collapse by Toby Rogers. Sensing defeat, they are lashing out in all sorts of weird ways. Also on my blog. As far back as 2001, Democrat stalwarts John Judas and Rui Teixeira began making the case to anyone who would listen that demographic trends in the U.S., for example, immigration and higher birth rates in the Latino population, would lead to a semi-permanent Democratic majority in government. Their book, The Emerging Democratic Majority, created a cottage industry of pollsters and political scientists who showed, with fancy charts and graphs, how Democrats particularly progressive Democrats, route to be in the catbird seat of American politics. Democrats came to see this as their due. They had higher levels of educational attainment, and they had been at the forefront of the movements for racial equality, women's rights, LGBT rights, and environmental protection. And now the arc of history was bending toward justice, and they were going to collect their reward. Electing Obama showed that America had turned the page, and the 2016 presidential election was going to cement their place in history as the new hegemonic majority. And then the wheels came off the bus. Hillary Clinton was a uniquely flawed candidate with a spectacularly flawed team, made up entirely of loyalists, not critical thinkers, and she lost to a guy who had never held elected office before. Fainting in public at a ceremony commemorating the 9/11 attacks and following a pneumococcal vaccine raised doubts about her fitness for office regarding both her health and veracity, and probably cost her the election. By the 2020 election, in the midst of a pandemic, Democrats came together with a singular goal: remove Orange Man Bad from office. They settled on a lowest common denominator, Weekend at Bernie-style candidate. If elected, Joe Biden would function as a papal placeholder while the actual power brokers run the day-to-day operations at the White House. Dems barely captured the presidency, but exit polls revealed their hope for demographic waves had evaporated. Latinos abandoned the Democratic Party in large numbers. Democrats still held on to the most highly educated voters, but the rest of the electorate is now up for grabs. So Democrats were already on edge, and then the pandemic got worse under Biden after 500 million coronavirus shots were injected into Americans in 2021. Roe will be significantly rolled back by summer. Dems are going to lose the House and Senate in November, and Biden appears to be a one-term president if he can even make it that long. But the scale of the collapse ahead is so much bigger than losing any one particular election. The coronavirus pandemic was a test, and the entire democratic theory of the state has failed. The collapse ahead is more like the fall of the Soviet Union. Democrats are not conscious of what is happening yet, but on some subconscious level, they can feel the political earthquake, and they are lashing out. The last few weeks have been ugly, and it's about to get a whole lot worse. Democrats are holding miserable cards, and everyone knows it. Sitting at the poker table, here are the cards in the Democratic hand. The entire theory of the case about their most sacred product, vaccines, is now in tatters. All federal agencies set by the progressive movement over the last century, FDA, CDC, NIH, have made the pandemic worse. Empathy, the foundational emotional impulse of the party, is gone. Blue check boogiecrats now resemble something out of Lord of the Flies as they gleefully block access to safe and effective medicines and taunt their victims. The entire notion of the regulatory state is now discredited as all federal and most state regulators are captured by industry. Nearly all bourgeois institutions, media, academia, science, and medicine have failed. The entire notion of meritocracy is gone. Our leaders are not the best, nor the brightest, but certainly the most corrupt. Elite universities have been exposed as Potemkin villages, as they are unable to do even the most basic risk-benefit calculations and are completely unwilling to protect students in their care from the predatory cartel. Their most beloved public student, Tony Fauci, funded the creation of a chimera virus that killed 5 million people. After 10 billion doses, coronavirus vaccines are a complete failure as daily new cases have set a record high. There's a wonderful graph here showing the staggering number of daily new cases increasing since the introduction of the vax. What remains? The Democrat worldview lies in shambles. The tribe that remains has abandoned all principle and only believes in holding on to power. The Democratic platform now consists of censorship, cancel culture, tribalism, Jim Crow, apartheid, show me your papers, indefinite extrajudicial detention, state ownership of your body, fascism, corporate junk science, and as many useless toxic vaccines in as many bodies as possible. Damn the result. Self-inflicted harm. I'm struck by the fact that the defining characteristic of this crisis is self-inflicted harm. It's the greatest show of pointless masochism in human history. Democrats poison themselves and rush out to poison their kids on the first day that they are deemed eligible by the state. Intellectual heroes of the left, Noam Chomsky, Slavoj Žižek, have thrown all their ideals out the window and now go around mumbling about how they want more fascism. Over the past week, reporters at the Washington Post seem to be engaged in a debate-a-thon to see who can humiliate themselves the most in defending the cartel. In just the past few days, a handful of washed-up former rock stars have canceled themselves in a sort of ritual human sacrifice to honor their corporate overlords. And now the rest of the tribe, him, Brene Brown, are jumping into the volcano to prove that they will remain faithful to the discredited ideology to the end. Here's our hand. The number one cable news show in the country, Tucker Carlson, is with us. The number one podcast in the country, Joe Rogan, is with us. The number one book in the country, RFK Jr., the real Anthony Fauci, is with us. The best rapper in the country, Jimmy Levy, is with us. The best athletes in the world, Novak Djokovic, Aaron Rodgers, Kyle Irving, are with us. We just had an incredibly successful march on Washington that showed that our numbers have increased by at least 10 times over the past year. Our independent media channels on Substack, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, and Getter are thriving. Each episode of The High Wire now gets several times more viewers than any show on CNN or MSNBC. Almost everything we said has turned out to be true. Right back after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I've been sharing this brilliant piece about boogiecrats are headed for a fall of communism-style collapse by Tommy Robgers, which you can find on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, where the Democrat platform now consists of censorship, cancel culture, tribalism, Jim Crow, apartheid, show me your papers, indefinite extrajudicial detention, state ownership of your body, fascism, corporate junk science, and as many useless toxic vaccines in as many bodies as possible. Damn the results. Meanwhile, the Republican hand includes the number one cable news show in the country, Tucker Carlson, is with us. The number one podcast in the country, Joe Rogan, is with us. The number one book in the country, RFK Jr., the real Anthony Fauci, is with us. The best rapper in the country, Jimmy Levy, is with us. The best athletes in the world, Novak Djokovic, Aaron Rodgers, and Kyrie Irving are with us. We just had an incredibly successful march on Washington, showed that our numbers have increased by at least 10 times over the past year. Our independent media channels on Substack, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, and Getter are thriving. Each episode of the High Wire now gets several times more viewers than any show on CNN or MSNBC. Almost everything we have said about the pandemic have proven to be true. SARS-CoV-2 came from a lab. Lockdowns cause more harms than benefits. Vaccine caused more harms than benefits. Existing off-the-shelf treatments are the best way to end the pandemic. Our movement is the embodiment of clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Our weapons are logic, reason, and common sense. We follow the scientific evidence, not any one particular leader. And now we have a model for how to overthrow these corrupt governments, trucker convoys. But even more than that, our theory of the case has won in a landslide, to wit. The best check against corruption is to protect the sacred rights of individuals. The regulatory state is captured and too many experts work for the cartel, and The best way to solve problems is to leave them up to millions of individual citizens using their best judgment, rather than centralized, corrupt, statist control. It's all over but the shouting. Blessings to the Canadian truckers. Pray for them that they will be resilient and feel our love and support as they occupy Ottawa until the Trudeau government abandons vaccine mandates. May it be the start of convoys for freedom around the world, especially right here in the U.S. Well, get this. Even as I'm reporting to you, we have a new post from Capitol Hill News. The Democratic National Committee is crumbling before America's eyes. The Democratic Party is beginning to face the consequences of embracing radicalism over moderatism. What's most ironic is they ran Biden as a moderate Democrat in 2020, yet since Biden's got into office, the extreme shift of turn he's taken in the realm of policy has royally backfired. Biden in the polls is barely treading water, coming in with just a 33% approval rating. Meanwhile, scores of Democrats across the nation are conveniently finding ways to put some distance between themselves and the president of their party. At the same time, Democrats are on track to lose the midterm elections. However, new information from National Review shines light on just how diseased the Democratic Party of today has become. Things are not going well for Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee. The situation for the DNC chair is so dire he's thinking about resigning from his post ahead of the impactful midterms later this year. Some of the most significant issues Harrison faces involve conflict with the Biden White House. Biden aides would like the DNC chair to take a more public role in boosting the party ahead of the midterms. However, Harrison spends more time at his residence in South Carolina. The DNC chair has also repeatedly raised issues with being eliminated from briefings or assignments that generally demand an active presence from someone in his position. Somewhere along the line, there appears to have been a disconnect between the D.C. chair and the expectation various leaders within the Democrat Party, especially the White House, have of him. The new information about problems faced by the DNC chair speaks volumes to just how many bridges Democrats are burning. They're not just burning them with voters, they're also burning them with each other. The White House can't even get along with a chairman representing their party. Meanwhile, Democrat lawmakers are viciously attacking the moderates in their party, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who have issues with excessive federal spending and ripping down the filibuster. At this point, Democrats have begun eating their own. Their inability to get along with one another or join forces, even when it counts the most, says it all. Democrats don't need to be in charge of anything. Americans, indeed, shouldn't be forced to contend with their failure as leaders. For I expect the midterm is going to change things dramatically unless the Democrats can find some way to dramatically change the narrative, and that includes provoking a war with Russia. Historically, Americans have rallied to support the president in times of war. After 9/11, even though George W. Bush polling had been really at rock bottom, Americans surged in support behind the president. He rose to astronomical heights on the order of 80-85% support. The Democrats, I believe, are attempting to emulate that effect, where I am convinced that if we provoked a war with Russia, that it would be viewed as more incompetence on the Biden administration that he didn't even keep us out of war. By the way, it's fascinating. If you go back to the last five or six presidents, every one of them got us into multiple wars with a single exception. That would be Donald Trump. Reagan, I think something like 7, George W. H.W. Bush, something like 5, Bill Clinton, 3, Barack Obama, 5 again. Only Trump has kept us out of foreign entanglements, which I believe reinforces why most Americans are going to regard him as the man for the job. Now, I don't deny for a second that Donald Trump has serious flaws. His largesse toward Israel is among them. His assassination of Qasem Soleimani was outrageous, and in my opinion, a severe stain on his presidency, one, in my opinion, that can never be removed. But look at the alternatives. Look at the other choices. Every other president has had serious defects. In fact, most more serious and consequential than those of Donald Trump. Look at Bill Clinton, for example. He brought us NAFTA. Remember Ross Perot saying that giant sucking sound you hear is all those jobs moving south? Clinton essentially vitiated the manufacturing and industrial base of the United States. Barack Obama wanted to promote the APP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would have further been a calamity for the United States. And several of these wanted to promote the, you know, North American Union, where borders with Canada and the United States become meaningless. In fact, with Joe Biden, you've essentially had the implementation at the southern border of a complete removal. Millions are pouring across the border, and the Biden administration is treating them as first-class citizens, rolling out the carpet. They're not vetting them. They're not testing them for COVID. They're not giving them any shots, and they're flying them in the dead of night to secret locations, and they're putting them all up, almost certainly in hotels at taxpayer expense. This is just as insulting as it gets. Meanwhile, Russia, perfectly reasonably, has been troubled by overtures that Ukraine might become a member of NATO. Now, what you have to understand is that at the time of negotiating the solemn agreements with Mikhail Gorbachev over the dissolution of the Soviet Union, Ronald Reagan made promises that there would be no encroachment of the West moving to the East. There would be none. And yet, as history attests, that's been precisely what has happened. There's been an extended effort. A number of those Eastern Bloc countries have been turned into NATO nations. Missile batteries have been set up virtually around the border of Russia, almost completely encircling, certainly covering that entire border, the western border of Russia, with Europe and with that part of the Asian continent. So Putin has explained that he wants solemn assurances from the West in writing that Ukraine will not be made, will not be turned into a another NATO nation, where Ukraine has a very lengthy border with Russia. And from the point of view of national security, it would be completely absurd. Nevertheless, U.S. rejects Russian demand that Ukraine stay out of NATO. The United States on Wednesday, this is just last Wednesday, rejected Russia's demand to bar Ukraine from NATO and said it believed Moscow was ready to invade but offered what it called a new path out of the crisis. Secretary of State Blinken said Washington set to Moscow a serious diplomatic path to resolve the confrontation in a private letter. However, he stressed, we make clear there are core principles we are committed to uphold and defend, including Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity and the right of states to choose their own security arrangements and alliances. Blinken was addressing the media soon after his deputy, Wendy Sherman, said the U.S. remained convinced Putin was poised to use force against Ukraine by mid-February. He said the letter emphasized that Kiev can choose its own allies, rebuffing Moscow's demand for a pledge. Ukraine will not join the NATO alliance. Let me mention that Saker has done a brilliant critique about this whole alleged invasion by Russia. It has no substance with a certain caveat. Russia would not want to take Ukraine, which is among the most corrupt nations in the world, and it's loaded with massive debt. Why would Russia want to assume that debt? The forces that Russia has marshaled on the border are defensive in case Kiev launches an assault against the eastern part of Ukraine, where there are many Russian speakers, native Russians who support Russia. The Donbass area, they do not want to see Ukraine launch an all-out war against Donbass. So they're standing by in order to come to their defense should it become necessary. In the missive, Blinken said, "We've addressed the possibility of reciprocal transparency measures regarding force posture in Ukraine, as well as measures to increase confidence regarding military exercises and maneuvers in Europe." The letter, coordinated with Kiev and U.S. allies in Europe, also opens the door to advancing arms control talks with Russia over the use of issue of strategic missiles and nuclear weapons possession in Europe. Meanwhile, NATO member will withdraw troops in event of war with Russia. With tensions growing on the border between Russia and Ukraine, the Croatian president, Zoran Milanovic, has announced that Zagreb will pull its troops out of NATO contingent stationed in the region should the situation spiral into a full-scale conflict. Speaking Tuesday in a televised address, the leader said he sees reports that NATO, not a separate state, not the U.S., is increasing its presence and sending reconnaissance ships. He insisted Zagreb's authorities have nothing to do with it, and we won't have anything to do with it. I guarantee you that. Not only will we not send the military, but if there is an escalation, we will recall every last Croatian military man, Milanovic said. This has nothing to do with Ukraine or Russia. It has to do with the dynamics of American domestic politics, U.S. President Joe Biden and his administration, which I supported. However, the Croatian president pointed out he sees dangerous behavior in matters of international security. Milanovic's comments come amid high tension between Moscow and Kiev, with a number of Western leaders sounding the alarm in recent weeks over a purported buildup of Russian forces along the border with Ukraine. On Monday, the U.S.-led military bloc announced that its members will order more fleets and fighter planes into the waters of Eastern Europe as Russia continues its military buildup amid the growing row. Spain and France are focusing on southeastern Europe, with Madrid reportedly contemplating dispatching ships to join NATO naval forces and is considering sending fighter jets to Bulgaria. Meanwhile, Paris has expressed its readiness to send troops to Romania under NATO command. Among accusations in the West of an impending invasion of Ukraine, which the Kremlin has repeatedly denied, Moscow is seeking a written response on its security proposals from American officials following a string of diplomatic meetings this month. In December, Russia handed over two draft treaties, one addressed to Washington, the other to NATO, as well as blocking Kiev from NATO membership. Moscow is insisting the bloc should refrain from military activity on the territory of the former Warsaw Pact states that joined after 1997 following the collapse of the Soviet Union. However, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg had refused to compromise on issues the organization deems crucial to its core values to meet Russia's demand. He also criticized Moscow's request, saying Moscow has no veto on Ukraine's effort to join the bloc, and it will not accept a two-tier membership system that prevents it from deploying troops in certain states. In 2020, the Croatian parliament backed the country's armed forces deploying as part of nine separate missions, including NATO contingents stationed in Poland. Here's a wonderful book by a fellow named David Gibbs who recaptures what's going on here, how NATO inflames relations with Russia, the title of which is First Do No Harm. He said today, coming so soon after their 20-year war in Afghanistan, U.S. officials should not be looking for new foreign interventions in the Ukraine, which risk even worse outcomes than the war on terror produced. He argues regarding NATO, it is worth recalling how much the alliance has weakened world security since the end of the Cold War by inflaming relations with Russia. It's often forgotten the cause of the current conflict arose from a 1990 U.S. promise that NATO would never be expanded into the former communist states of Eastern Europe. Not one inch to the east, Russian leaders were promised by then U.S. Secretary of State James Baker at the time. Despite this promise, NATO soon expanded into Eastern Europe, eventually placing the alliance up against Russia's borders. The present-day U.S.-Russian conflict is a direct result of this expansion. Let me add, by the way, that Russian military equipment is far superior to that held by the West, including the United States. They have the best anti-missile missile systems. They have the best anti-ship missiles. They have the best anti-submarine torpedoes. They are so sophisticated, they are virtually unstoppable. If there were to be a war breakout with NATO, in my opinion, in less than 30 minutes, Russia would have dispatched all the NATO forces in Europe and around its border in the first 30 minutes and wait to see if there would be an American retaliatory strike. If there were not, things could settle back to normal. But if there were, and the pressure on this weakling, this spineless puppet Biden to launch an attack would be overwhelming, then Russia would have to undertake an all-out nuclear attack upon the United States. The effects would be devastating. Russia would come out of this far better than the United States. But we have morons running the American government. Get this. The Ukrainian president has even, told Joe Biden to cool it. And here he is saying, this is now the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, the new world order lies about Russia. Ukrainian president Zelensky has recently grabbed the new world order by the horns and declared it's created an unnecessary panic. Zelensky stated, there are signals even from respected leaders of states. They just say that tomorrow there will be war. This is panic. How much does it cost for our state? To say that imminent war is coming, said Zelensky, is to put the entire Ukrainian economy at risk. Certainly this is contrary to what New World Order in the West have been perpetuating. The Associated Press has put out a headline saying, Russia's risky options beyond full Ukraine attack. The New York Times ferociously tried to put fear in the hearts of virtually everyone by saying things like the overall threatening rhetoric from the Kremlin and the movement that military analysts are seeing on the ground gives us a lot of reason for concern. It's a very serious situation. The Times even insinuated Putin is threatening war with Ukraine. The Wall Street Journal is concerned Russia is mounting a large-scale military buildup along the border shared by the two countries. But the same journal has never said a damn thing about NATO mounting a large-scale military buildup along Russia's border, Ukraine, said the journal elsewhere. Ukraine, said the journal elsewhere, is on the brink of war with Russia. Contrast the following title by the Wall Street Journal with what Zelensky said. Russia hatching plot to replace Ukraine government, UK says. Take a look at this brazen title by the Washington Post. Russia planning massive military offensive against Ukraine involving 175,000 troops, U.S. intelligence warns. There is certainly a political disconnect here. neither Russia nor Ukraine created that disconnect. New World Order agents are so desperate to create a false flag, they're willing to perpetuate lies and deception. The simple fact is New World Order agents were defeated in the past, particularly when they tried to annihilate countries like Syria. Both Russia and Iran created an unbroken alliance to fight, which led to the defeat of New World Order activities in Syria. They do not have a new strategy. Their ultimate weapons are lies, deception, and colossal hoaxes. But people are now waking up, which is bad news for the New World Order agents. I have a further report here from a friend of mine with very good connections with the intelligence community. Secret deal now being negotiated. I've been advised by a very high source that Zelensky and Putin have just about finalized a deal, and the Israelis have begrudgingly committed to it to avoid being wiped out by combination air power between Russia and Syria and Iran if necessary. The Russians have electronic warfare weapons and hyper-supersonic air-to-air and ground-to-air and ground-to-ground missiles that are hived, recalculate targets continually, and take zigzag crew-type trajectories near impossible to stop. They have the electronic means to pre-ignite any armed Israeli devices, turning some against Israel upon launch, disarm any devices set or launched. Basically, the Russian Federation has now formed a strong defensive alliance with Syria and Iran, and if the Saudis get involved, they will be destroyed in a single day from here on out. Not a good idea. Putin's main gripe is the Khazarian control and political interference, along with their typical massive corruption at every level in the Ukraine. The Ukrainians want to be annexed to the Russian Federation, just like the Crimeans did and accomplished. Both sides want to increase trade, and Putin wants the Ukraine to distance itself from NATO, which has been terrorizing and threatening Russia even after an agreement was made to stop putting bases near its borders. Israel has ordered its people to evacuate and return to Israel. What most Israelis do not understand is that with a 90-plus jab rate, most will be dead or critically ill within 2 years, so basically Israel is done. The Chinese have served as Israel's bitch for many years and are sick of it and plan to move west along their Belt and Road project. They plan to take over Israel and the Holy Land and all the nations along the way. Remember when 9/11 occurred, various secret factions. More when we return from this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is cast. We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the message of today's show is that the truckers in Canada have shown a way to peacefully protest governmental tyranny, in this case wrapped in the guise of medicine and health, in a fantastic way, which appears to be coming to the USA. It cannot happen soon enough, where in this brilliant critique, Toby Rogers explained how the Democrats have nothing to offer the country but censorship, cancel culture, tribalism, apartheid, state ownership of your body, corporate junk science, and more. Whereas the Republicans are on the right side of every one of these issues. That the best check against corruption is to protect the sacred right of individuals, that the regulatory state has been captured with too many experts working for the cartel, the most obvious of whom is Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, that the best way to solve problems is to leave them up to the millions of individual citizens using their best judgment rather than centralized corrupt status control. Now, I do believe the Biden administration would welcome a war between Ukraine and Russia in the hope that it might rally the public, to its side, which I believe will not happen. I believe that having set the example of the clumsy and ill-fated withdrawal from Afghanistan, the Americans would judge us as simply more incompetence on the part of the Biden administration. Meanwhile, as I'm reporting now, a colleague of mine in whom I have high confidence with wonderful contacts in the intel military defense establishment is explaining that he has been advised by a very high source, Zelensky and Putin have just about finalized a deal where the Israelis have begrudgingly committed to it to avoid being wiped out by the combined air power of Russia, Syria, and Iran if necessary, reiterating some of the key points I've made about the Russian military equipment, where they have electronic warfare weapons. By the way, I didn't mention that before. They have weapons that can nullify, really, totally neutralize, disarm all of our electronic equipment, all of our surveillance, our guidance systems for our missiles, for our weapons on our ships of war, where the USS Donald Cook in the Black Sea was overflown by a Russian bomber, and when they sought to track it, they found all their equipment had been taken out, so that they were sitting there. In fact, crew members got out of the Navy, you know, by the hundreds because they recognized that the USS Donald Cook had been turned into the USS Sitting Duck. I mean, it was just outrageous. They have the electronic means to reignite armed Israeli devices, turning some against Israel upon launch. They have hypersonic air-to-air and ground-to-air and ground-to-ground missiles that are hived, recalculate targets continually, take zigzag type trajectories that are nearly impossible to stop. This is all very, very positive. According to this report, even Israel has now ordered its people to evacuate and return to Israel. What they do not understand is that with a 90-plus percent jab rate, most will be dead or critically ill within 2 years, so basically Israel is done. Remember when 9/11 occurred, various secret factions in the deep black part of the U.S. defense system threatened to get even with Israel and those responsible from the USA in due time. Israel is now receiving severe sanctions in numerous ways for all their corruption and evil. And the mainstream media, big tech, and the banksters, the top Kazarian cutouts, will likely be displaced from power, much to their surprise, in one of the greatest shock and awe incidents in history. As I've said for over a year, NATO is done. Germany wants Russian gas and other trade deals. They are not afraid of the Russians and Putin. They want to join hands and do a lot of business deals. Stay tuned. You'll be shocked at what's coming. That's the latest I have from the front. Meanwhile, a member of parliament in Germany has proposed that Ukrainian neutrality is one way to defuse the current tensions in Europe. Left-wing German MP Klaus Ernst argued that guarantees of Ukraine not joining the U.S.-led military bloc would help resolve the current tension between the West and Russia. To defuse the situation in the short term, the West must assure Russia that Ukraine will not be admitted to NATO. Ernst, a veteran lawmaker and former leader of the Left Party, said Friday, it would be best if Ukraine were given a status like Finland, a status of neutrality. He was referring to Finland's longstanding tradition of not formally aligning itself with military blocs. The Nordic country is not a NATO member and maintained neutrality during the Cold War. Russia wants to secure its borders and not have NATO troops on its doorstep, he added, that the West should have an understanding of Moscow's position in the current standoff regarding Ukraine and wider security in Europe. His comments came after German Foreign Minister Baerbock warned Moscow of massive consequences, potentially including sanctions on the Russian Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline to Germany, if Russian troops attack Ukraine. Western countries have been accusing Russia of amassing military force with the intent of invading its neighbor, which Russia denies. Ernst also spoke of the tensions in eastern Ukraine, where low-level fighting continues despite the 2014-15 ceasefire agreements between Kiev and the self-proclaimed republics in Donetsk and Lugansk. Ukraine has brought combat drones from Turkey and now can feel emboldened to use them in the disputed territories. Contrary to the Minsk agreement, Kiev released a video on its Bayraktar TB2 drone carrying out an airstrike in October of 2021. That's, of course, not good, and we hope that none of it will happen. But just bear in mind the terrible situation in which Russia finds itself, with a constant effort to militarize the former Warsaw Pact nations, which were created as a buffer to NATO. Meanwhile, and this just came in while I'm speaking to you here on the air, Canadian truckers stay put in Ottawa with thousands of protesters pledging to continue to create chaos. Published 31 January 2022, which would be today. A freedom convoy of trucks joined by thousands of demonstrators brought Ottawa to a virtual standstill for a second day on Sunday as they protest vaccine mandates, as other sympathetic truckers blocked a border highway into the United States. The truckers say there is no end date in sight and plan to stay in the capital for as long as it takes and until the Canadian government flips and withdraws its policy on vaccine mandates. The chaos clogged the capital's lockdown near Parliament throughout the weekend and brought criticism from officials, including Ottawa's mayor, who said residents were prisoners in their own home. But the demonstrators say they intend to stay and that their aim is to create chaos and a logistic nightmare for Justin Trudeau's government. Right now, yeah, it's really cold, but we hang in there. The days are going to get longer, and we take this block party and put it into overdrive, said B.J. Dichter, one of the organizers of the Freedom Convoy, at a press conference. We're in this one for the long haul. We don't have a time limit. I like it. Lots of photographs. The boisterous protesters are now threatening to interrupt business Monday with authorities stating City Hall will remain closed, traffic will be disrupted, and some other services stalled. Canada's House of Commons planned to be at work on Monday, which will reconvene at 11 a.m. tomorrow as planned, and according with standing orders, no comments made what security arrangements will be in place. This afternoon, a large presence of police continued throughout the downtown core. The momentum of protesters and trucks continued to be managed. These high-risk situations were de-escalated and involved no arrests, the authorities said, adding, police resources are fully stretched in dealing with the obstruction, which appears to involve hundreds, I would suggest thousands of trucks. This is a simply admirable development. I applaud it completely. As you've already seen, Trump is endorsing it. And I think what the nation has needed was a peaceful mode of protest that had leadership. Well, the truckers have provided the leadership. I mean, this is a grassroots movement, but Donald Trump is smart enough to go with it. He's endorsing it. He's supporting it. And in my opinion, his leadership is going to make a difference. That Washington, D.C. is going to be flooded with these trucks in an American version, and it's going to lead to a massive crackdown. What will the Democrats do to try to prevent it? I expect they're going to make some moves, possibly trying to set up roadblocks around the nation. We shall see. The suggestion has been made, by the way, by an Ontario city councilman that the $10 million in donations to support the truckers should be confiscated by the Ontario City Council as a penalty for creating these traffic jams in Ontario. I believe if that were to happen, this protest movement would no longer remain peaceful. The protest originated last week in Western Canada, where dozens of truckers organized a convoy to drive from Vancouver to the Canadian capital to demonstrate against COVID-related restrictions, particularly from a recent vaccination requirement for truck drivers crossing the long U.S.-Canada border. Multiple convoys began arriving in Ottawa on Friday and were joined by thousands of other anti-vaccination protesters. In solidarity with a convergence on Ottawa, truckers on Sunday staged what police described as a complete blockage of Highway 4 in Canada's western Alberta province along the U.S. border. The road is a major artery for commercial goods between the nations. As of right now, the port of entry remains open, technically speaking. However, nobody would be able to get to them except on foot, said Cardus Peters, a spokesman for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, noting that some 100 trucks were blocking the roadway. In Ottawa, the desecration of a war memorial and harassment of city officials and NGO volunteers sparked an angry response. Remember, it's always possible to create false flags. You know, due actions are going to claim were done by the truckers, blame it on the truckers, when it's government agents. I mean, look at the FBI in relation to January 6th. I mean, they're claiming that Trump fostered a conspiracy. In fact, it was Nancy Pelosi who created a conspiracy involving the FBI that was intended to tarnish Trump so that they could now make out the case that conservatives and Trump supporters are domestic terrorists. There's a conspiracy coming from the left. In my opinion, there's a massive evidence to support it. Obviously, this whole business with COVID and the vaccines is another conspiracy, a massive conspiracy that appears to me to be motivated by the Rothschild banking empire who control the AP and Reuters and the major news services, where I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, another panel of 100 executives from NBC, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. Another panel of 100 executives from the New York Times, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. So there's a lot of nonsense going on here. We even have what I believe is completely impressive evidence that the election was stolen. That obviously was a massive conspiracy, in my opinion. It is the fact of the matter, and we have more and more evidence coming out every day. And yet, even though the Democrats spent 5 years trashing Trump for having stolen the election of 2016, which was, in fact, rigged for Hillary, but the outpouring of support from rural counties was something they had not anticipated and with which they could not cope, so they undertook the massive theft of the election of 2020, and with astounding success, but where it's now being unveiled. Now, they make an effort of seeking to denigrate those of us who engage in conspiracy research. I was asked on a way to a conference in Dallas on JFK by a major television station out of Minneapolis how I preferred to be described. And I said, well, I like conspiracy analyst or conspiracy realist better than conspiracy theorist. But what has to be understood is that conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes, which typically lead back to the government itself, which is why they so massively want to suppress. I mean, look, CIA had a major role in JFK's assassination, a major role in 9/11, and a major role in a host of other events. They do not want to be outed, so they attack those of us who are doing the research, Harold Weisberg, Mark Lane, Jim Garrison, a host of others, David Lifton. We're all supposed to be conspiracy theorists, and yet what we're exploring and explaining turn out to be the facts of the matter that contradict the government account, where James Files, whom I like enormously, but whom I believe is a ringer for the second shooter. In other words, I believe he's playing a role, but something he said to me during a conversation we had right here in Madison, where I was treating him and his wife to dinner at the Longhorn Steakhouse, was once the government commits itself to a position, it's locked in and will never change. which I think explains not only why, even though we had a half a dozen or more of the alleged Islamic hijackers turning up alive and well and making contact with the UK media the following day, the FBI has never revised its list of the 19 Islamic hijackers, even though the evidence is simply overwhelming. Indeed, this is the very first point made by David Ray Griffin in his magisterial work, the 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, and where it's very clear the CIA took a crucial role in relation to the assassination of JFK, where my research has now turned up not only that Lee Oswald was in the doorway of the book depository when the motorcade passed by, meaning he not only could not have been the lone demented gunman, but could not have been one of the, now we identify eight different shooters. Bear in mind, Lyndon Johnson was a very hands-on guy. He was the mastermind behind the assassination, so he could accede to the presidency. There was to be a vote that day in the United States Senate on the Bobby Baker scandal, where Bobby was Lyndon's bagman, which was widely thought to tarnish Lyndon so badly that he could not be JFK's running mate again in 1964. Jack had already confided into Evelyn Lincoln, his personal secretary, that he was not going to run with Lyndon again, but was thinking of Terry Stanford from North Carolina to be his running mate. And where Jack had threatened to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. So there was a coordination between the CIA, the U.S. military, the Joint Chiefs, the Mafia, anti-Castro Cubans, Eastern establishment surrounding the Fed, Texas oilmen, and Israel, each of whom appears to have put up its own shooter. If you want more, go to my BitChute channel, Jim_Fetzer. You shouldn't have too much trouble finding it. And scroll down to my special 18 November 2021 about the assassination of JFK, and where I also have which I wanted to release in advance of Oliver Stone's new film, JFK Revisited through the Looking Glass, which in my opinion makes very modest contributions to our understanding of the assassination, and where you can also find there a four-part review dissection of Gary King and Larry Rivera and me going through each of the parts of Oliver Stone's film, all on my BitChute channel. So there you have a massive evidence. The CIA was involved. There were conspiracies galore, and yet they've done their best to trash all of us who are doing research on conspiracies for the reasons I've already explained. Well, Mitchell has discovered that there's a new song out there that extols the virtues of conspiracy theory. So I want to bring Mitchell in to give us a little preface, an introduction, and tell us about this. And play it for us, Mitchell. I'm just delighted. Please join the show.
Hey, hello, Jim. Hey, everybody. I hope you're doing okay. Let me change my source on my sound. Hey, yeah. I've played this before on my morning show. So, it's the conspiracy guru. And this, if Jim is going to have a tribute song played at his funeral, I think this would be it.
1, 2, 3, 4. I've sold you. I'm a boy and I sold you. Remember when I told you about Building 7? Remember when I told you about the fluoride in the water? Yes, I did. Remember when I told you about the New World Order? Remember when I told you about the chemtrails in the sky? Remember when I told you that NASA was one of the eyes? Remember when I told you about the ultra mind control? But I'm just told to say that I told you so, yeah. Remember when I told you about 432? Earth's that is the one. Oh, what it can do to you. It hurts my ears. Remember when I told you about the vaccine agenda? Yes, I mean that Michelle Obama is a transgender. Yes, she is. The dinosaur fraud, the climate change scam, and yes, Sandra Bullock is also a man. Remember when I told you that there ain't no hope? When I just want to say that I told you so. 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 Remember when I told you about the TV flicker rate? And how it puts your brain in an alpha state? Remember when I told you about germ theory? Remember when I told you about gravity? Remember that? Remember when I told you about Paul McCartney? Remember when I told you about direct sanity? Remember when I told you about Monsanto? But I just want to say that I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so.
Well, we should be coming to the break, Jim.
Perhaps you could transcribe some of the lyrics for us. I couldn't make them all out clearly, I think, because I was using an alternative speaker to avoid feedback. Give us further thought.
No, it's, well, hey, there's the break.
Okay, we'll be right back, and we'll be taking your calls right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah.
There he is. He made it back.
Oh, yeah. I got preoccupied with another news story about, you know, no violence is 1,000-stage peaceful protest in Canadian capital over mandates. I mean, the stories are just coming fast and furious. Mitchell, tell
meanwhile,
us.
Meanwhile, hey, here's one for you. Meanwhile.
Conspiracy song.
Conspiracy song. Yeah, he's got it. It's on YouTube called The Conspiracy Guru. It was a little too loud and, it muddled a little bit, but, he talks about all the, real major conspiracies. I can only think of two in there in the entire song that you don't subscribe to, and that's Flat Earth. And, I think there was a question about gravity, and I don't think you question gravity for some reason. It keeps your feet planted.
No, you're right. Very good, Mitchell. By the way, while we're talking, I want to open the lines to callers. The number 540-352-4452. Mitchell, what do you think the Democrats are going to do? They're panic stricken over this development.
Well, listen. If you listen to ABC, NBC, CBS, fake Fox News, you will hear a totally different spin put on the truckers convoy for freedom in Canada. Okay. Here I'm going to share my screen again because I got a little clip for you to listen to. I'll make sure it's, the level's not too loud.
Sure.
Here's a clip of, Mika Brzezinski. Okay. So you can, I'm sure you can understand where the propaganda is, how it is going to be spun, I guess is a good description. Here's Mika Brzezinski.
The capital of Canada to a standstill. Dozens of trucks and other vehicles could be seen blocking the downtown area of Ottawa as protesters rallied against vaccine mandates, masks, and lockdowns.
That seems like an interesting way to spend your weekend.
The demonstrations were initially aimed at pushback against vaccine mandates for truck drivers crossing the U.S.-Canada border. But the movement escalated into an expression of disapproval with the Canadian government's COVID-19 policies. Officials say several investigations are underway into reports of severe vandalism and criminal behavior, including the desecration of national monuments. Meanwhile, Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson said some protesters harassed a soup kitchen, demanding free meals because their refusal to wear masks meant they were not to order in restaurants. That soup kitchen tweeted COVID protesters were given meals to defuse the conflict and that this weekend's events have caused significant strain on our operations at an already difficult
time. So these anti-vaxxers actually took food from the mouths of the homeless.
Hungry, yeah.
Because they're so put upon. Because
yeah.
They have a vaccine. I'm just curious, again, where were these protests when people were required to take...
Now, this is only about half the clip, Jim. This is Mika Brzezinski and Joe, what the hell is his name?
Scarborough.
Yeah, it's propaganda over the top.
Yeah, well, that's what they got to do, demonize. That's what they did with, you know, they do this all the time. Where January 6th is maybe the most spectacular and obvious example of demonizing, ignoring the real issues. It's outrageous. What do you believe the Democrats will try to stop this truckers from descending on Washington, D.C.?
They won't stop it at all. They can't. Number one, I don't think they can stop it. The only thing they can do is to have agent provocateurs the same way they did with January 6th and also the Charlottesville I call it a false flag because it was set up to bring forth the confrontation that it did so the media could then spin it. It truly is just, these are just more extensions on, you know, Nancy Pelosi and the wrap-up smear. This is, you know, this is all that we're seeing is, you know, soundbite and wrap-up smears that are used to demonize people. And once you have, I think the big problem is once you have people buffaloed, once you have their mind conditioned to believe what you have to say, then they are your perceived authority figures. And when that happens to a group, they can be led anywhere.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, it's pretty damn interesting what's going on here, Mitchell. I'm fascinated. I repeat, we're open to taking your calls now. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452, and you picked up on that Ottawa City Councilor suggesting they should confiscate the $10 million in funds that have been frozen by GoFundMe. They actually released some money the other day.
Yes.
Yes, but this is outrageous. Can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to take that money away from the truckers? That would truly create a conflagration. But, of course, that's exactly what they want, Mitchell. I mean, don't you think that they are going to do what they can to try to, disrupt and discredit? And that one way of doing it would be to be so provocative that the peaceful protesters who otherwise wouldn't have raised any problems are forced to take some action they might prefer not to have taken.
Yeah, there was, Mika Brzezinski was talking about the alleged desecration of a national monument.
And, right,
it was a veterans memorial there, and it looked like somebody peed in a snow pile beside it. I mean, honestly, that's what the video clips and stuff, that's what I saw, that's what it looked like. And then there was the Terry Fox statue that, you know, they put some flags on it and put a flag around his neck like a cape. And they were talking about, you know, how, you know, that was desecration, you know, and how horrible it was, you know, Terry's statue. And, you know, one doctor came on and said, I can't believe these people, these unvaccinated people, you know, they're taking up beds in the hospitals because of the cancer patients. And, you know, my question to the guy was, you know, I sent this to him in a tweet. I said, hey, I said, how long ago did Terry run across Canada with cancer, you know, to help cancer patients? And you still have a shortage of beds, but it's the unvaxxed that are the problem. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
It is. It is. I couldn't agree more. It's completely ridiculous. Tell me, you say you have something else about Big Pharma? You have another
song? Yeah, we got another song here.
Why don't you go ahead and play it too?
All right, we'll play it while we wait for a caller. Hold on a sec. Okay, where are we at? Here we go. Okay, here we go.
A deadly virus out on the loose. You best be scared, you best be protected. So roll up your sleeves and get your ass injected. Step right up, we'll call and take my juice. They drop it like flies, don't you? What to do if you don't take my juice tonight? You gonna get sick, you gonna surely die. I don't mind if you big, I don't mind if you small. My juice, no magic, one size fits all. Step right up, come and take my juice. Another variant, another boost. Now don't you judge my history, and I take no liability. Yeah, step right up, come and take my juice. I want you healthy and your children too. My juice don't kill, that's a bunch of lies. If it happens to you, I'll censor your demise. I don't mind if you big, I don't mind if you small. My juice, no magic, one size fits all. I'm Big Pharma and I'm here for your health. I mean no harm, I just wanna help. My juice is free for you, my friend. Cause I know you'll be back again and again and again. Take my juice if you
Well, that's pretty good.
There you go, Jim.
Getting a lot of points across. Let me tell you, we got a brand new report here that tells you which way the wind is blowing. Russia allows Iran aircraft loaded with arms to land at Russian base in Syria. A stunning development in Middle East diplomacy took place Sunday. Russia allowed an Iranian jet carrying vast amounts of arms to land at the Russian air base at Khamenemun. Previous Iranian deliveries have been bombed by Israel. This one cannot be. The Israeli Defense Force expressed its misunderstanding of the action of Russia. Let me clear up the misunderstanding now, Hal Turner adds, for the Israeli Defense Force. It's game over. Allowing Iran to use air bases in Syria, which allegedly endangers U.S. ally Israel, is no different than Ukraine allowing NATO bases U.S. allies next to Russia. Maybe it will dawn on the U.S. that Russia feels the same threat from NATO bases that Israel feels from Iranian bases. It's a very appropriate analogy. Of course, there's a second component to it. Russia is not playing Israel's little game anymore, where Israel claims it's defending itself by attacking forces and equipment that are not attacking Israel and conducting those attacks on the foreign sovereign soil of Syria. Israel has long been playing both sides in the Middle East, and what they saw today was one side putting an end to that manipulation. Now that Russia is allowing Iranian cargo jets to bring arms to its air base in Khamenemun, Israel is stuck. Israel cannot attack anything on the base because to do so would be an act of war against Russia. Israel can't hide behind the United States to do so because the U.S. is rather bogged down right now, minding other people's business in Ukraine and Taiwan. The U.S. is always stretched to the max, having to send most of its aircraft carriers to the Pacific over China's aggressive moves against Taiwan. In the Mediterranean, the U.S. Navy is focused on Ukraine and the developing war in Eastern Europe. In such a situation, Israel will never get U.S. permission to attack an Iranian cargo shipment on a Russian airbase in Syria. So the arms being shipped into Syria by Iranian aircraft are arriving in a place Israel cannot attack without causing its own military destruction. I think this is an absolutely fascinating report. It concludes, if they were to do so, they would unleash Armageddon upon themselves, as both Russia and Iran would then have causes belli for war. It's unlikely Israel could survive a full-out war with Iran, at least not without vast U.S. help again. if Israel faced both Iran and Russia, there wouldn't be any living thing alive left alive in all of Israel. Interesting times are upon us. That's truly fascinating, Mitchell. That's a very significant development.
Yeah, it is. Justin Trudeau has now tested positive while in hiding in his bunker.
He's testing positive for COVID while in hiding. I love that.
Well, maybe it's Coward 19. We don't know.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, Trudeau's just pathetic, just absolutely pathetic. He's been a spineless wimp in Canada, bending over for the New World Order. It's been pretty disgusting. So I think it's very appropriate, symbolically and in other ways, that this is taking place, originating in Canada, where the Canadians are known, you know, to be, as it were, nicer than Americans. I mean, they have that reputation of being very nice people, very polite. So it takes quite a lot to get them upset. But I think it's happened now. It's happened now. And I don't see any end to it. Mitchell, your thoughts?
Oh, man, this is gameplay. This is gameplay, Jim. When Justin Trudeau has essentially manufactured the best reason anybody could ever think of, well, you know, in the liberal mindset and the people that are with him, of why he left Ottawa, why he is in his bunker, you know, why he is maintaining his distance. And, you know, it's essentially, you know, I could call it a confirmation play to, you know, his base, the red meat for those liberals, to all point and say, look, he's right. He is right. We has got to, you know, we got a lockdown. We got a mask. We got a vax. We got a, you know, this is just not only red meat for the masses, but, you know, as I said before, you know, the spin that you get from the media today. It's just propaganda. I guess I shouldn't even call it spin. The standard propaganda that you get today. And this is, you know, the problem that we have. It's really amazing.
What can the Democrats do to forestall the wipeout in 2022? Mitchell, I mean, do you have any thoughts? What they could possibly do? I mean, I think they're in just awful shape.
Oh yeah, they're in a poor political shape. I would say some of the things that they could do is create a crisis around Biden, a health crisis of some kind of personal crisis. Number one, you know, they're already wagging the dog. So they've got that going as a distraction, you know, from everything that's happening here. And if they can create this event around Joe Biden, and, you know, I hate to say to use the pity card on the old man, to bring out the base, you know, I don't put it past them. They are in a horrible spot, because of the economy, because of inflation, because of their, liberal policies. And, you know, in all honesty, these, liberals want Joe Biden to go even further to the left, which is even more, well, outrageous. I have speculated before, and I don't know if I've done it on your show, and I have speculated before that there was a power-sharing deal that was put in place within the Democrat Party itself, and that Joe Biden represents the Barack Obama power structure, and that Kamala Harris represents represents the Hillary. Okay, here we got a caller coming in. Biden is Obama's boy, and Kamala Harris is Hillary Clinton's representative of the power structure in the Democrat Party. And it's my belief that that's exactly, you know, they're going to swap it out and they're going to create a crisis and they're going to get rally, you know, they're going to rally the troops to the Democrat Party, and that will be, you know, that's what's going to happen more than likely. It's all psychological play by now. That's how I look at it. So
we do have a caller here. Let him.
Let me see. I thought he was here and then he's gone. Here he is. Let me see if I can get him back real quick. It's awesome.
Sure.
Australian sure. Paul. Aussie Paul, where are you at? It's early, late over there. So, but yeah, it's, we have about 2 minutes or less left, so I didn't.
Yes.
If we can get him back, sometimes, you know, he has. Yeah, evidently we can't. It's he comes in and then he gets hung up. Maybe it's his internet. But remember what was Joe Biden saying in Afghanistan? All we have is perception. You told Afghani is perception, perception, perception. Afghan and Ukraine. Perception. I really think that these guys are, you know, it's all, you know, all blowing smoke.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Here's Paul. Here he made it. But
Paul, you want to squeeze in a few comments here before we have to part? Just here, if you have a comment, please.
Hurry. Hurry if you can say, Paul. You got you're muted.
It's
you're on mute, Paul. Unmute on Skype. Oh, man. Well, we're at the break. There you are. Hey, safe. There you are. You're unmuted. All right. Well, the break's coming in, dang it.
Well, Mitchell, thanks on all counts. Thanks on all counts.
Oh, you're welcome, Jim. Great you have a great day.
See you on the event. See you then.
Love you from down under.
Thanks.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, the perfect triangle with perfect Giuseppe triangle, from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict, but...